This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to this week's edition of Joy's very own show about pets. Thank you to Leo for providing the soundtrack to our morning. My name is Kevin, and joining me in the studio today is Kate and Alan.
Hi.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, good. And we also wanted to say a very special hello to Sean and his partner Ross, and also their new family member, little Truman. So Sean wrote to us recently to tell us he'd listened to our adoptions program, and he thought, I'm going to go and get a cat. But he came down to the Lost Dogs Home in our North Melbourne shelter, and he met a little cat, which is now known as Truman.
He sent a really gorgeous photo of Truman as well. Beautiful.
It's really nice seeing those stories. Mm. It always makes us feel good. Wasn't there something that he was allergic to cats beforehand?
His partner, I think, was allergic to cats.
But it's actually going okay.
Yeah.
He's not allergic to Truman.
Yeah.
No, right. Truman looks very happy too in the photo.
Which is really good. So we're going to hear from Sean in the coming weeks, because we did have a bit of a chat with him. So on the show today, we're going to be talking about some very special people. Now, these people open their hearts and homes to our shelter animals, put them up for a week, maybe two, sometimes longer, and ultimately assist with their adoption. They are, of course, our dedicated team of foster carers. Now, Kate, you have had some first-hand experience as a foster carer.
Yes, I've fostered, I think probably I'm up to about 9 kittens now, and I've fostered one dog as well for the Lost Dogs. I mean, it's great. I mean, I love my cats, and my kids love kittens as well and cats, so it was great to bring them in. They were quite young and they needed some time to build up their weight and to grow, to get older before we could de-sex them and put them up for adoption. So I think I had them, you know, some for 2 weeks, some for even as long as 4 weeks, and that was a really great experience. I'd recommend it for anyone.
Mm. It's a good time. You get them in the playful bit and then you sort of give them back. I mean, I haven't fostered, but I see them lots because generally, they're animals that need some sort of monitoring, so weighing, or they're under treatment, so people bring them into the vet clinic. So we spend quite a lot of time looking at them in the clinic and getting to see the people, and they always really enjoy it.
Yeah, they really feel like you're making a difference.
Yeah, they obviously get a lot out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we do have quite a dedicated team. You know, there's some foster carers that have been with us for quite a while, and then there's others that might come and go, but it is such a rewarding experience as well. It's a lot of staff too.
A lot of staff at the home foster, and not just from the shelter area or the veterinary clinic, but from the IT department, fundraising department, you know, everyone gets involved.
And it kind of gets them involved with the animals as well. So not everyone who works at the dog's home works with, everyone loves animals, but they don't all work with animals every day. And so having a foster animal sort of involves them in that side of things.
Exactly, yeah.
So all throughout Pets Allowed today, we're going to look at this very valuable program at the home and also how you can get involved, because we do have members of the public that foster for us as well. So have you been a foster parent for a dog or a cat at all? Tell us about it. We do want to hear from you.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Don't forget, you can also SMS us whilst we're on air at 0427-JOY-949 or give us a call 1300-JOY-949. Now, if you've ever thought about becoming a new parent of a furry family member, we do have our Pet of the Week each week, and that will be coming up very soon. Don't forget, if you do miss anything on Pets Allowed at all, we do podcast the show, and you can check out our program page at joy.org.au for more information about our podcasts. Now, we're going to hear from the Backstreet Boys. Everybody loves a little bit of Backstreet Boys.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know what song that was, but it sounded good. And it is Larger Than Life. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. This week's Pet of the Week.
Every week on Pets Allowed, we do feature a dog or cat who is looking for a new home. Now, Alan, we have a dog this week, I believe. Tell us a little bit about Bowie.
So Bowie is a Maltese cross. He's grey and white. He's a boy, obviously, and he's about a year old. There are some before and after photographs going up on the website of Bowie, and he came in, he was incredibly, incredibly neglected, just completely matted up. He was pretty shy and reserved, and in a really sorry way. Knots and burrs all through his coat, but we've clipped him up, the groomers have clipped him up and done a really nice job, and he's ready for adoption. He's been really patient, and we're really looking forward to find him a new owner who won't neglect him again. It's pretty amazing. I mean, we went to meet him this morning and we had some photographs taken, and he's been through a lot. He's obviously still a little bit timid, so I think we probably need a home that, where there isn't anything like young children or big dogs. He's quite happy to be handled, but he's a little bit wary around his face. But if you see the photographs from before, he's so matted up. I mean, he probably can't see. So
you'll understand why.
If anyone was going to touch him, he's going to flinch.
No.
So, yes, he's looking for a home. His ID number is 931899. If you're interested, you can have a look at him on dogshome.com or call the shelter on 9329 2755. And again, his ID number is 931899.
So, as Ellen said, those photos will be up on our social media page. So, if you go onto the Joy website, which is joy.org.au, you can check out all our social media from there. Check out little Bowie. He'll be up on our Facebook very shortly. He is a gorgeous little Maltese, and his nails are really long, and were really long, and you know, he needed a really good clip, and you can definitely see that in the photos.
And it's pretty amazing when you think that he's only a year old. So from whoever had him before had him as a puppy and obviously never ever groomed him.
Yeah.
So for his whole life he's been like that. So he needs a home.
Absolutely. So for more information, please check out our website, which is www.dogshome.com. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
So there were quite a few big news stories that have happened this week. As we all would have seen, that Queensland, absolute devastation in the flooding up there. And, you know, our hearts and our thoughts definitely go out to everyone and their pets that have been affected by this as well. Now, we actually, what some of you might not know is we actually have two shelters up in Queensland. We have one in Warra and one in Willawong. Now, Kate, I believe you spoke to Deb, who is our shelter manager up there.
Yeah, well, we heard from Deb. Yeah, she manages both the Willawong and Warra shelter. Our Warra shelter in the north of Brisbane was reasonably okay, but Willawong suffered more damage in the south part of Brisbane. Mainly it was, you know, trees falling down because of the very, very strong winds. We lost power there for, I think, 24, 48 hours. And not only did the shelter lose power, but a lot of our staff did too. So they were sort of working in the dark or, you know, doing the best they can at the shelter without power, but then also going home at night and perhaps whatever, having to, you know, able to have a warm shower or whatever because they had power out at home. But everyone worked really well together. They banded together. The Warra shelter, you know, took over taking a lot of the calls while Willawong sort of got back on its feet and cleaned up the damage. The trees, you know, we were lucky they didn't sort of fall in any sort of area that the animals were being kept. And of course, our first thoughts were for the animals. So we just certainly made sure that they were out of the danger of trees being or falling on them, and they were kept dry and they had plenty of, you know, warm, dry bedding and lots of food as well. So, yeah, it was you know, a challenging time, but everyone banded together. We had, you know, people ringing from Melbourne to make sure that everyone was okay as well. So they certainly felt that there was that support there. And I guess in the coming days afterwards, they held animals for longer for those people affected by floods and their animals might have got in there. We're giving them some extra time to come in and claim them as well. So.
And I suppose that's what you've got to remember. That sort of weather, you always get lots more animals than you normally would over a weekend or over those days.
That's right. And then you sort of have to think about, you know, can you get out and collect them too? So I think they had flood maps as well. So they might get a request to go and get an animal, but
can we get
in there?
Yeah.
So.
And it's really, because I was up there when they first started setting up those shelters, and Brisbane City Council is just huge. It's a huge, huge area. It's the biggest one in Australia.
Yeah.
And the shelters are, they cover an area, I don't know, hundreds of square kilometres. And the shelters are actually quite rural, so it's very, very different from down here.
Yeah, quite a different feel. And getting between both shelters, it's quite like it's almost an hour trip, I think. But getting from one shelter to the next, so
logistically, it's a really big job.
It is huge. They did a great job up there.
That's right, and you know, obviously things are still ongoing, but they are doing such a wonderful job up there. And you know, thank you to all our Queensland staff as well for doing such a brilliant job during these tough times, because you know, it's not only affecting their homes as well, possibly, but the animals as well. Yeah.
And like, we didn't even know some of them were affected. They just soldiered on. It was all about, you know, we're going to look after the animals, we're going to take care of the shelter. And then 2 days later we found out, oh, you know, by the way, I didn't have any power, I had some damage at home. So that, you know, their first thought was the animals.
And absolutely. So first, maybe let's go to some good news.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, as many of you will have known listening to the show, we've had a half price adoption promotion going on over the last month. And, you know, it's a new year, new time, new homes for shelter animals. We've had quite a very successful period of time. So, Alan, tell us a bit about that.
So from just after Christmas, so December the 27th to the end of January the 31st, at North Melbourne and Campaspe in Echuca, we adopted out a total of 105 cats, 223 dogs, 158 kittens and 35 puppies. So in just over a month, that's 521 animals adopted out. Even though the half-price adoption promotion is now over, last Saturday we had a fantastic day for our cats and kittens. We adopted out 19 cats and kittens on that one day. So
that's such a
great result.
Yeah, big thing.
We all did a little bit of a woohoo for that, didn't we? Because we'd love to see more cats and kittens adopted.
Yeah.
It was great.
So, and it's going really well. Yeah. I think the new adoption facility has made a real difference, because it's just much more pleasant going in there and people get to interact with them more and the cats are much more relaxed. So win all around.
Yeah, that's great. Good. So if you want more information about that or any of the news stories that we have talked about today, visit the Dogs Home website, which is www.dogshome.com. So if adoption is the only option for you, remember to visit our adoptions page online as well. We also have a pet license test, which we encourage all those who are thinking about adopting to take a look at, because you can actually receive a discount on your adoption price if you get 100%. It just covers some basic things as well as some a little bit trickier things about pet ownership and things you might not think about as well. So check that out online, which is petlicense.com.au. Or you can find it via our Dogs Home website. Now, we did have a question from Tony, who just asked about Bowie and how Bowie would be around a Siamese cat. Now, when animals are in the shelter, we don't usually check to see how they go with, you know, sort of dogs and cats or anything like that. But feel free to give us a call on 0393 292755. Give the Dogs Home a call and one of our reception staff there or one of our adoption staff will be able to give you a bit more information about Bowie and maybe have a chat to you about, you know, whether we can see how he's going to go with a cat or what we can do.
That's right.
And I mean, my impression would be that he'd be fine. You know, he certainly didn't look like a dog that was going to chase.
No, he does. He's got that sort of calm, gentle nature. So he's quite submissive, isn't he?
Yeah.
So thank you very much for that, Tony. And hopefully, you know, you might end up with a new furry friend very soon. So coming up after this, we're going to talk about the Lost Dogs Home Foster Care Program. But right now, we're going to hear from Amy Stewart with Knock on Wood. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. The Lost Dogs Home has a team of dedicated foster carers who open their homes to our shelter animals needing some extra TLC or attention. So we have long-term and regular foster carers who look after our shelter animals frequently, and some others will contact us when they're available and, you know, might look after one and then a couple of months later look after another. The foster carers come from varying backgrounds and professions, but they all share one thing in common: their desire to help shelter cats and dogs find new and loving homes. So there are quite a few different reasons why people become foster carers. Kate, take us through a few of those.
I think, like what you said just before, Kev, is the main reason. People just want to make a difference. It's incredibly rewarding to take a really young kitten and see it grow and then see it go on to get a new and loving home. Or, you know, the dog that's been mistreated or suffered an injury and then to nurture it back to full health is incredibly rewarding. So I think a lot of people do it for that. Also, there's many people that you know, they want to have a pet. They love dogs and cats, but they're also they're being responsible, I guess, and know that they can't do their lifestyle take on commit to a dog or a cat for a lifetime. So, you know, when they're in town or in between, I guess, contracts or whatever they're doing with their life, they can take in a foster animal and have that make a difference, but also have that companionship. And also, you know, if you're thinking about it, you're not sure whether you can take on a dog or cat for 10 to 15 years, or, you know, it's going to suit your lifestyle, foster care is a great way to find out if it's going to suit you and, you know, if you've got the time to care for a pet. So, yeah, that's just some of the reasons. And, you know, it's a great help for the home. It really makes a difference for us to get those animals out of the shelter and into a home environment.
Now, of course, with everything, there's some good and there's some bad sometimes when it comes down to foster caring. Alan, what are some of the challenges?
Well, I don't think they're bad. It's just, you know, it's not all easy. I think the main one that people talk about is having to give them back. So you have to look after them properly and you have to enjoy them and give them all that contact. But at the end of the day, you can't get so attached that you don't want to give them back. And I suppose that there can be work involved as well. So, I mean, litters of puppies can make a lot of mess and a lot of smell. So
kittens
cleaning
too.
Up and need regular feeding. Kittens, yep. Mm. And I suppose a lot of the kittens are, and cats sometimes, you know, lots of cats with flu, they'll need medicating every day. And sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do. So you just have to be, you know, aware of that and able to do that.
And be prepared as well. And that's something you need to think about is, can I actually commit to waking up every hour and feeding an underweight kitten or a dog or something like that as well? Now, how do they actually help us at the Lost Dogs Home? So what are some of the benefits of having a foster carer?
I think the first thing is they give one-on-one care. So, you know, if an animal needs that ongoing care in a work environment, however hard you try, you can't do it long term with the same person, because, you know, you can't roster people on 7 days a week. So that's really good, and it gets them into a much less stressful environment and helps them to bond with a person.
Yeah, I think that home environment is a lot more relaxing and calm for an animal, isn't it? Like, especially cats, if they've got the barking dogs in the background and they're already stressed from being lost and, you know, going into a home environment helps. But I think also it frees up cages and pens for us.
Kennels,
so they actually act as, you know, extra pens and cages for us, so that, you know, while those animals are recuperating, we can, you know, treat and care for another dog or cat and then send either, you know, send it on to adoption or it maybe get claimed by its owner.
And I suppose it means that animals that have had surgery or require ongoing treatment, it means that we can monitor them really closely and keep in contact with those people. And if they've got any issues, they can bring them in and, you know, we can deal with them, which means that they get better quicker, kind of thing.
Whereas sometimes they really monitor them very closely.
Yes,
and they're really quite dedicated.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, to making sure that they get back to full health.
And it also means that we get an idea of what the animal is like in a home environment and also around other animals if they do have other animals as well. We will be talking about our foster care program all day today.
Joy.
Bring the action.
A heap of your favourite programs are returning to Joy 94.9 this summer.
Explore diverse gay and lesbian communities across the world with World Wide Wave Monday night at 8.
Let out a big woof to welcome back the Cubby House Monday night at 10.
Laugh out loud. Friday evenings are back with the Two Fat Lattes from 7.
Get your geek on with Techno Gaze from midday Saturday.
And country music fans, don't despair. Q Country is now on Sundays from 11 a.m.
You are rocking with
Joy
949. To find out where your favourite shows are on Joy this summer, see the Joy program grid each week in your local queer newspaper and online at joy.org.au.
Connect, represent and celebrate our diverse community all through summer right here on your community radio station.
Bring the action.
When you have this in the club, you're going to turn it up.
Joy 94.9.
Allowed on Joy 94.9.
We are looking today at the Lost Dogs Home Foster Care Program. You're here with Kevin, Kate and Ellen on Pets Allowed. Right now, we're going to have a look at some of the reasons why shelter cats and dogs may actually need to go into foster care. Now, one of the something that's really started up recently more so is behavioural foster care. So, I was going to say cats, but we don't do behaviour rehabilitation for cats.
Well, I've had kind of a half-wild kitten before. I just needed to be socialised with another litter of kittens so we could learn some, I guess, more appropriate behaviour. That was good.
So it is a bit of a fostering care program for
behaviour. We do occasionally, yes.
Yeah. And I have fostered myself two dogs, so Chloe and Jack, both of who were in our behaviour rehabilitation program. So Chloe was a little staffy who had never really been in a home and never really experienced what it was like, and it was more to see what she was going to be like when I got her home. Now, what we actually found out through that process was that she needed a second dog to be with her. So when she met the Beagle, she went absolutely nuts and she was really happy, and that really made her come out of her shell, because before that she was really timid, she was really shy, and so it gave us that idea that she needed to have a second dog. Jack was a little dog aggressive. He's only 7 months, but he didn't really like other dogs, so he got brought home to my place to hang out with Cinder, my border collie, just to see how he was going to go along with her. And I sort of figured out in that process that what he was actually doing was he wanted their attention, and that's why he would get angry at them, because they weren't paying him enough attention. So he learnt quickly that he wasn't going to be able to get angry at her because she was a lot bigger than him, and she taught him that he needed to have his manners and behaviour. So, you know, sometimes timid or shy dogs, sometimes a little bit aggressive, they just need that time. Another example is Daryl and Ozzy, who were very shy dogs, and they were in behavioural foster care for about 3 months. So, you know, it can take a little while, but all this sort of stories are great because it gives them that time to recuperate and to really come out of themselves, and we can help a lot more dogs. Now, another reason that an animal might be in foster care is if they're underweight. So, Alan, tell us a bit about that.
Well, we get quite a few sort of very thin or sort of emaciated dogs come in, and they can be that way either because they've been neglected and they haven't had a proper diet, or they can be that way because they're actually sick. And sometimes, you know, even if you do blood tests and whatever, because we don't have the history, we don't know what's been going on before. It can be a little bit hard to work that out. So if we put them into a foster care home with, you know, a good diet, an appropriate diet, and they're fed appropriate amounts, and we can monitor them to make sure that they're putting on weight, and we can get them into, you know, a kind of suitable state of health for rehoming.
Now, we do have some examples of dogs and cats that have been through our foster care program are online. Mm-hmm. On our YouTube channel, there's some videos on there. So you can access those through our website as well, which is dogshome.com. An example of an underweight dog was Marvin, who was a Malinois. Mm-hmm. He was
Great Dane Cross.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. He's came in quiet. Marvin.
Starvin. Oh, Starvin. I think I'm talking about a different Marvin. We've had two.
I think he was underweight as well.
Yeah, there was Marvin the Great Dane Cross, who was extremely underweight, and then there's Marvin the Malinois, who we did a video for. Yeah. So he's online on our website as well, and we've had quite a few that have actually come through the home. And, you know, it's good to see them fatten up a bit.
Yes.
And get to that point. Another reason is they might be a bit underage. So, Kate, you've had experience with this.
Yes, as I said, I've fostered quite a few kittens, usually litters of kittens. I've had sort of, you know, two kittens or three kittens that have come in, I guess, under 8 weeks of age. Yeah.
They have to be 8 weeks of old. 8 weeks of age before we can perform surgery. Yeah. So around about 750, 800 grams is how we like.
Yeah, and they've been quite skinny. They're probably, you know, their mother might have been scrounging for food, so her milk wasn't probably that good. So they're probably quite undernourished. Yeah. So just having them at home, giving them plenty of food, good quality food, so that they, you know, got all the nutrients that they needed, and they can put that weight on and grow quite quickly. And also, I guess, you know, they were socialising with my big cat and my dogs and my kids, so that was really important for them as well. And then bring them in and see them go off to lovely homes. And there was probably one kitten, Bob, who just loved water. So you get to know these really quirky characteristics, and every now and then one will stand out from the group. And Bob was the one that stood out for me, because he used to sit on the side of the sink and watch me wash the dishes. So it's pretty special.
I suppose the other thing is most of the animals that end up in a shelter aren't desexed. Mm-hmm. And it's not uncommon for puppies to be born at the shelter. Mm-hmm. And in the old, you know, when we weren't allowed to hold animals for more than 28 days, there wasn't very much we could do about that. But now that we can hold them, we can foster them out until they're 8 weeks old, and then rehome them. So
it's a really great program, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we will hear a bit about that later, because Jess, who we had a chat to, she actually fostered a puppy, and he's his mum until he was ready to go up for adoption. So we will hear from her. Now, we want to know if you have actually fostered at all. Please send us an SMS 0427JOY949. But also, if you're interested in foster caring as well, you can find some more information about that on our Dogs Home website, which is dogshome.com.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Now, Kate is actually what we might call a foster failure.
Yes.
As in, she fostered a dog and she now owns that dog. Now, Kate, tell us a bit about Molly and why she was in the foster care program.
Well, Molly had, like many small dogs, she had a slipping patella, so a slipping kneecap. So she was waiting surgery I think we were quite busy at that time. We had a lot of desexing and other surgeries going on. So we put Molly into foster care with me so that she could spend time in a home, and that was better for her waiting until we could do her surgery. So that's what I did. I had Molly for a week or two, and she's a Maltese. They weren't particularly my favourite breed then, but her, you know, plucky nature and she's a great character. She's really bright. I just fell in love with her, and I did the right thing. I actually brought her back, and she sort of, you know, I tried to forget, but she got into my heart, and I did end up adopting her, and I haven't looked back. She's been great. So that happens to some people. It is the downside of I guess of foster care, but
we do see a lot of animals actually post surgery as well, but we've actually changed that up a little bit. Now animals that would normally go into the foster care program can sort of be fostered at the Lost Dogs Home. Now, Alan, tell us a bit about it's the Stan and Helen Moore Sick and Injured Centre.
Well, we've got it opened about 2 years ago, and that's where we keep it's generally for sort of stray animals that are sick or injured, but we will keep adoption animals there as well. So it's a purpose-built facility. It's a green building, so it's low energy use. We've got a treatment ward there, and then we've got more sort of general kennels. It's a great facility.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it gives us a chance to look after those animals, you know, that might have had an amputation or something like that, or even with animals who have sort of cat flu. So they'll generally go into the foster care program because they need that sort of less stressful environment as well. Mm. Now, Kate, you've fostered kittens that had cat flu?
Yes, I have. Yeah. So, so it's about sort of, you know, creating a nice, calm environment, as you said. So they're taking them out of the shelter, and there's, it's got lots of different smells in the shelter. They can probably hear the dogs barking in the background, and, you know, the stress of being lost in the first place, and then to have these unusual sounds. So to go into a home environment is really important for helping to cats, overcome cat flu.
And cats are really prone to stress, and it's stress that makes them sick. So, it's much better for them to be out somewhere a bit more pleasant.
So you are on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. For more information about our foster care program, please visit our website.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Pets Allowed, and on today's program, we're looking into foster caring for Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Jess Schmidt has been a foster carer at the Dogs Home for the past year, and since she started, she's cared for four shelter animals who've gone on to be adopted. 1 year on, Jess is now actually one of our reception staff at the home's new Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, and she continues to care for shelter animals recovering from surgery.
So we caught up with Jess recently on her lunch break, and she's going to start off here talking about her most recent foster care experience.
Olive Buttermilk, who was my last foster dog, went back 2 weeks ago. She was recovering from a patella knee surgery. She went back and was actually adopted less than 24 hours later, which was fantastic for me to know that she found a new home so quickly. I know that the people who took her had another dog and they had children, which she would have just loved. So I know that she's found really a perfect home. So typically I foster dogs that have had a surgery, so they need to be rested, which means that they can't be exercising altogether that much. So typically I wake up in the morning, play with them, feed them, and then I come to work, and then when I come home in the evenings I'll take them out and play with them again and feed them and just look after them. I also do a lot of small puppies. So they're young dogs that are too small to have their surgeries. They're too little. So I just look after them until they're big enough and strong enough to have desexing surgery. In the last year that I've been doing foster caring, the first one that sticks out in my mind was Team Biscuit, who was a 10-year-old mother with her 10-day-old puppy when I took them into foster. I had them for almost 2 months, or over 2 months, sorry, 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. And that one really stuck out in my mind because I had the privilege of seeing Biscuit open her eyes for the first time, take her first steps, have her first bark, and also with T to see her build her confidence and her trust in someone, which was really lovely for me to see. I'm not too sure on T's backstory, if she was brought in or if she was picked up by the council, mm-hmm. but I know that she gave birth while she was at the home, mm-hmm. and she gave birth to Biscuit, who I named, and then they needed to go into foster while Biscuit grew up to be able to face the surgery of desexing. It is so fantastic to know that I've definitely helped them both to be able to go up for adoption. Is really rewarding for me.
You are on Pets Aloud, and you're currently hearing from Jess, one of our dedicated foster carers at the Lost Dogs Home. She continues here by talking and sharing some of the minor hurdles of becoming a foster carer.
The main difficulty definitely is returning your foster to the Lost Dogs Home. Can't lie and say that it's easy just to return them, no matter how small an amount of time that I have them for. I've had some for only a couple of weeks, but they all make their impact, and I love them all very much. So it is difficult. I always try and think as logically as possible and know that I've signed up for the foster care program, so just to look after them until they can go back up for adoption. I know that they all find really fantastic homes. If I went with just my heart, I would have adopted each and every one that I've had, so I would have 10 dogs running around my house at the moment. But I really do just know that there's more animals out there that need my help, and so by returning my foster, I'm able to help another animal. I haven't got a pet of my own full-time because of that reason, that I'm not quite ready to commit to being here for 10 years and not having a support network in Melbourne to be able to look after my animal if I want to go away. I'm not prepared to have an animal and then 2 years down the line say, I want to go away now, and because we see so many animals that are surrendered for that reason, that their owners are moving overseas, so they brought their animals in, and it's just not a problem I want to contribute to. I think it's such a fantastic thing to do. You get so much pride from doing it for yourself, and the love that you get from the animals as well, that you know that you're helping them, you're helping to build their confidence, you're helping them recover physically as well so that they're big and strong. And just for yourself, it's so rewarding.
That was Jess Schmidt sharing her foster care experience with us. So, Jess is a staff member with the Lost Dogs Home, but she actually started fostering before she became a staff member, so that's something you can do as well. If you've thought about welcoming a new pet into your home, but you're not quite sure whether or not it'll work for you, and you want to sort of get that experience first, you might not have had a dog or a cat before, or you might just really want to help out a foster animal. Kate, tell us quickly about the process of becoming a foster carer.
Well, I guess for the most of the information, you can go to the Lost Dogs Home website, dogshome.com, and go to our foster care page, and all the information's outlined there. It's pretty straightforward. There's a few steps to take, including filling out a foster care form, and there's some information required to go with that. But yes, go to their foster care page on the website, dogshome.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much for that. And if you do want any more information about anything we talk about on the show, do visit the website, which is dogshome.com, or find us on social media. Just go to our program page at joy.org.au. Right now, we're going to hear from Chris Willis with Too Much In Love. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. This week, we're going to change things up a little bit and doing the Q&A on training. So many people who adopt puppies ask us, how can they go about toilet training their new pet?
Firstly, you need to keep in mind that it may not always go smoothly at the start, and you never ever get angry or scold the puppy if they make a mess in the house. If you do this, you're going to make them frightened and they'll go and perform their business somewhere else, so you'll end up with lots of messes behind the sofa.
And you might not actually see where they are, and they'll start hiding it from you. So ensure that you're going to take them to the appropriate toileting area, so choose whether you want it to be the backyard or whether you've got a little box that you want them to go in, or like sort of a patch of grass inside, and the following times: after every meal, or if they're chewing on a toy, after having a drink of water, immediately after waking up, even if it's just been a really short nap, if you notice them sniffing out spots in the house, or after play, calmly reward them with a treat or praise when they actually go to the toilet in the appropriate place.
And as they're actually going to the toilet, you can give them a specific command, such as toilet or be clean. And this will help associate the action with the command, which you can then use to get them to do their business. If you catch them in the action of going to the toilet in the house, you need to distract them and then take them outside to finish off. If they've already made a mess in the house, don't tell them off, but just quickly and calmly take them to another area and clean it up.
And there are some commercially available products as well, which will help remove odours from the area, which will help stop them from going back to that same area to toilet again. But don't use something that is ammonia-based, an ammonia-based cleaning product, as it'll actually encourage them to use that area. So if you want more information about toilet training your puppy, we have got that story up on our website, which is www.dogshome.com. If you have a question that you'd like to ask us, get in touch with us via our email, which is lostdogshome@joy.org.au, or you can find us on social media as well. Just visit our Joy program page, joy.org.au. We will be right back with our dog dates. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
So, as many of you will know, this weekend is Mardi Gras Fair Day. Now, I know we're in Melbourne, but you might be heading up to Sydney with your pooch, so don't forget to check out Doggywood as part of Fair Day at the Sydney Mardi Gras Festival. It is running from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the Fair Day Festival, Victoria Park, Camperdown in Sydney, and it is absolutely free. Just jump on the Sydney Mardi Gras website for more information, mardigras.com.au.
And the National Pet Register has a microchipping day. It's at Banyule City Council. It's this Sunday, which is the 10th of February, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Ivanhoe Town Hall Car Park, which is 275 Upper Heidelberg Road, Ivanhoe. Microchips cost $25 and you need to book them beforehand. So, and bookings will close today at 4 p.m.
So you can check out petregister.com.au for more information on that event, or give us a call, 1300-REG-PET, which is 1300-734. I've forgotten what it is.
734-738.
Yes, that's the one. 734-738. Now, Kate, big event coming up very soon.
Absolutely. It's a few weeks out yet, but we want everyone to put this in their diary. Sunday, March the 3rd, Gracie Street Pet Fest. Gracie Street will be turned into a vibrant, fun street festival. It's a must for all animal lovers and pet owners out there. A free event, so come along and enjoy all the different marquees and entertainment dedicated to celebrating the special bond we share with our pets, and to mark also the Lost Dogs centenary, of course. So it's a pet friendly event. We want, yeah, dogs are welcome on leads with your poo bags too, please. And the whole event will be emceed by our very special friend and patron, Marty Fields, and there'll be a wide range of fantastic entertainment such as pet talent, cooking show, magic show, face painting for the kids, presentation by an animal communicator, Carolyn Pope, she's fascinating, pet cafe, bakery, and dog obedience demonstrations by Planet Canine.
Now, we will be talking a bit more about the centenary as well as Pet Fest in the coming weeks, so make sure you do tune in. Now, remember, if you have missed anything on Pets Allowed at all, or you just want to hear us again, remember to check out our podcast, which is available online at joy.org.au. Just wanted to say a quick hello as well to Sean and Truman, who are listening to the show. They sent us an email in to say hi, which is great. Thank you very much for that. We do love hearing from you, so if you ever want to get in contact with us throughout the week, you can email us, lostdogshome@joy.org.au, or you can visit us on Facebook or Twitter. We always love hearing from you guys and everything. So stay tuned, because coming up, Sammy is got her afternoon show, which is brilliant. And I believe it's a very special day for Sammy as well. It's actually her birthday. Now, I don't know if she heard me say that, which is good. So.
Happy birthday, Sammy.
Yes, happy birthday to Sammy. So remember to send those birthday messages in 0427JOY949 or email her on air at joy.org.au and say a big happy birthday to Sammy. Now, next week, if you're currently going through a separation with your partner and maybe you're trying to decide who keeps your pet dog or cat, now this is something that I have experienced very recently. Kate's experienced it before as well. Alan's lucky.
A little while ago.
He has gone through it. So it is something that does affect us
absolutely,
all.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're even thinking about starting a family, but you're not sure how your pet is going to adapt to the change. Next week, we're going to take a look at how our relationships with our partners and family impact our pets and explore ways to help your pet adapt to these new changes as well. You have been listening to Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home, Joy 94.9. Don't forget about Bowie, our wonderful pet of the week. You can check out his before and after photos on our Facebook page. And remember, it is quite a drastic change as well. So thank you for listening, and remember to walk your dogs
and pat your cats.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.